Greetings, brothers and sisters. We're so grateful and thankful to the Lord that today we can come and we remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to say that today I'm going to be talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, my emphasis is more on the significance of the resurrection, the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that is a very, very important part of the life of Jesus Christ, as much as it is ignored in our preaching. And I was just talking to somebody this week, and I was saying, it's so sad to realize how we are doing things in our churches, because what happens is that we preach all sorts of things that we can preach throughout the year. And then only for this weekend of the Good Friday, that's when people, and you will hear preachers preaching about the death of Jesus Christ. You will hear preachers preaching about the resurrection. In fact, resurrection, the death of Jesus Christ is mentioned here and there in our preachings. But the resurrection is only mentioned this Sunday, and you'll wait again until next year, same weekend of the same Sunday, so-called Easter Sunday. That's when you would hear people talking about the resurrection again. That's very, very sad. It's a very sad development in our lives as Christians. So I want us to go to the book of Matthew chapter 28, and we are going to read from verse 1 to verse 15. Matthew 28 from verse 1 to verse 15. As before we can even read, let me give you what's going to be happening today. So we're talking about the significance of the death of Jesus Christ. What I want us to do, one, I want us to look at how Jesus resurrected from the dead. I want us to go back to where we're going to read in the book of Matthew, see the account of how Jesus rose from the dead. Then, number two, I want to talk about the significance of his resurrection to the Christian faith. And those are the only two things that I want to do this morning. So we go to Matthew 28 and we read from verse 1 to verse 15. I always read in the English Standard Version. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was an earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the ears of the governor's ear, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now, friends, as we on Friday talking about how Jesus was crucified on a cross and how he eventually died at the cross, I want us to today talk about this resurrection. Remember what happens on the day of Jesus' crucifixion. The Bible says that after Jesus had been on the cross and he died, the Bible says then there was a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. Him and Nicodemus, this Joseph of Arimathea was one of the secret private disciples of Jesus. He was a member of the Sanhedrin Council. And because of the fear of the Jews, he did not want to come publicly about his faith in Jesus. And so he came and asked for the body of Jesus Christ. Now, when the soldiers went to the cross, there was a custom that when people had been hanging on the cross, and remember that this is happening before the day of Sabbath, so the Jews did not want to have a body hanging on a tree on the day of Sabbath. So then Joseph went and asked for the body of Jesus. Now Pilate instructed that the soldiers should go and verify if these people are already dead. Now, if somebody was not dead, they will break their legs. They will break their legs to make sure that to speed up the process of dying. But then we see in John chapter 19, verse 36, 35 and 36, that when the soldiers came to the body of Jesus Christ, they find that he was already dead. So they did not break any of his bones because he was already dead. And then the Bible says that that happened to fulfill the word of God, to fulfill the scriptures, because that was what was said by what God had said in Psalms 34 in verse 20, where it talks about how God protect all. I mean, how God would have protected the bones of his Messiah, and that even, I mean, none of his bones would have been broken. Why am I mentioning this part? I want us to be sure first that Jesus died. He died at the cross. He was dead. Because for us to consider that, to consider a resurrection, there must be evidence that there was death. So we know for sure that Jesus died, because the soldiers that came, who were supposed to break his legs, did not break his legs, because they satisfied themselves that he was dead. And then they pissed him on the side, and then water and blood came out. They were sure that this man is dead. They were sure that this man is dead. So he died, friends. I want us to establish that first. So then they put him in a grave, a borrowed grave for that matter. Nicodemus assisted Joseph of Arimathea. And the women who were following Jesus also were there. And Jesus was put in a tomb. And then there was this huge stone that was rolled. So you would understand that as if the entrance to the grave, it was more like you were going to go down into the grave. So the stone was just rolled in, and then it closed that tomb. So there was Jesus buried in accordance with the Jewish cultures. And then what was going to happen is, it was also a culture that before 4 days, this person should have been embalmed. So it sounds like they did not have enough spices to embalm his body when they buried him. And the women observed where the grave was, and hence here on a Sunday morning, they went, because they rested on the day of Sabbath, they went on the first day after the Sabbath, which was the beginning of the week, which is our Sunday, by the way, and they were going to actually embalm him more so that his body could not decay quickly. I think I just wanted to give you that background. Now we know that he's dead. We know that he's in the grave. And now it's the Sabbath has passed. It's in the early hours of the first day of the week, the first day after Sabbath, which, as I've said, our Sunday. Now, where we read today, we see that these women, they are coming to the grave. In verse 1, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first week, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake of the Lord, because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. So Jesus has been on the grave. This is the third day. Remember that after Jesus was buried, the Jews came to Jesus and said, you know, this man, he said to us, he would rise from the dead. Now we want you to post a guard at his grave, because we are afraid that his disciples would come and steal him at night, and then they are going to go on and say to people, he rose from the dead. And then that fraud, the last fraud, would be greater than the first fraud. So there were guards that were posted at the entrance of the grave of Jesus Christ. Now, these women, they went to the grave not to witness resurrection, because all of them, including all the other disciples, they had forgotten that Jesus said he was going to rise from the dead. In fact, these men were now hopeless. You see the language when you read in Luke chapter 24, where Jesus encounters two disciples that were going to Emmaus, and they are talking. Jesus joins them, And he asked them, what is it that you are conversing about? And they said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know about Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was righteous and he was given by our elders to be crucified? And they said, we had hoped that he was the one to restore the kingdom of Israel. So their hope was, we had hope. In other words, at that point, there was no more hope. At that point, they were convinced that, oh, Jesus, like men who came before him, died, and the Messiah is still to come. So these women, they went to the grave. Now, suddenly, the Bible says, an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Then his appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. And then the angel then speaks to the to the women, and it says to them, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. And so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Friends, there's something that I think it is important for me to mention here. That when the angel descended, it came, and the Bible is very clear at what the angel did in verse 2. The angel came and rolled back the stone. The angel did not come to raise Jesus from the dead. The angel did not come to resurrect Jesus. The angel came to roll away the stone that was at the entrance of the grave. We must not make that mistake and think that that angel came and it was that angel that rose Jesus from the dead, because then that would be a misunderstanding of what that angel came to do, but also it will be a distortion of what the rest of the Bible says. Remember, Jesus in John chapter 10 verse 18 had said, I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it up. So he rose from the dead by the power of his own, by the power of God that was in him. He rose from the dead. Nobody actually witnessed how Jesus rose from the dead. But we know that he rose from the dead by the power of his own. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says that he was raised by the power of God. He was raised by the power of God. In fact, in Romans chapter 8 verse 11, Paul talks about, he says that Jesus was raised by the power of the Spirit. He says it is the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. The Spirit of God that resurrected Jesus from the dead. And I want us to be clear there so that we don't go away thinking that, oh, this angel came and it was the one who actually resurrected Jesus from the dead. Friends, an angel can only operate within the limits of the power that God gives it. And in this case, an angel, being a created being, could not resurrect the Creator, Jesus Christ. He was raised by the power of God. He was raised by the Spirit of God. He was raised by the power that was within him as Jesus, as the Son of God, as God himself. He rose from the dead. So the account that we read here is practically on how that the events of those who came to witness how he who came to witness that he's resurrected. Now, none of the four evangelists, Mark and Matthew and John and Luke, talks about the specifics of how Jesus, what happened when Jesus rose from the dead. We know that after the angel announced his resurrection, when they went into the grave, they found the grave was already empty. They could see the cloths that were used to wrap up his body, folded and in order, and they knew that he's not here. And the angel confirmed to them that he's risen. But even at this point, the disciples were not, the women that heard these things were like, they were afraid. And then they went back to the disciples to tell them that we have seen an angel and Jesus' grave is empty. So we know then that after the disciples heard this, in fact, verse 8, so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. So what you see what happens then is that as the women were going to tell his disciples, and they met with Jesus and they worshipped him, Jesus said to them, go and tell my brothers that we will meet in Galilee. Now, at that point, that is when the guards that were guarding the grave actually went to the chief priests and told them what has happened. Now, when the chief priests came together, they realized, oh, this man is really the Christ. Now he has resurrected and people are going to believe him because he said he will resurrect in any way. Then they said, the Bible says they connived, they colluded and said, no, we'll give you some money and then you will come and say to the governor that whilst you are asleep at night, these disciples came and stole him. So the guards took money and they did as they were directed. And up until Matthew wrote his record of the life of Jesus, that lie was still spreading amongst the Jews. That lie was still spreading even at the time when Matthew was writing. So Jesus, that's how he rose from the dead according to Matthew. John gives us the same account. Luke gives us the same account. And Mark also gives us his own account. Although the accounts are slightly different from each other, but they prove one thing, that Jesus rose from the dead exactly as he had said. Now, as I said that I'm going to be talking about resurrection, there are five features of the life of Jesus. His birth is the first one. His life of obedience is the second one. His death is the third. His resurrection is the fourth. And the fifth one is his ascension. And when we preach the gospel, it's important that we cover all these aspects of Jesus' life. That he was born of a virgin. And that he lived a life of obedience to God, even to the death at the cross. And that he died. He was crucified for our sins. But the story does not end there. He rose from the dead. And then he ascended to be at the right hand at the right hand of the throne of God. So, most of the time, we preach, we talk about his birth, we talk about his death, but we have eliminated his resurrection. And I want you to realize that even though the issue of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not an important issue in modern day preaching, but in the early church and to the apostles, it was the main thing actually about the death of Jesus. I mean, about Jesus. They were like understanding it this way, that Jesus lived and he died, but then God confirming that this was his Christ, God raised him from the dead. You see in Acts chapter 2, in verse 23, when Peter was preaching, that very first sermon he preached on the day of the Pentecost, he said about Jesus, he said, this Jesus delivered up according to a definite plan and the foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, God raised him up, losing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. If you go to Peter's preaching again in Acts chapter 10, in verse 36, he mentions the resurrection there. And in verse 36, he says, as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on the tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear not to all the people but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. I want you to notice this pattern, that there's always somewhere an emphasis on the fact that this Jesus rose from the dead. Friends, if Jesus just died and never rose from the dead, how were we going to know that he is the Messiah that God had promised Israel in the Old Testament? How was he going to be the Savior of the world if he died and lay in the grave? So, to emphasize that he resurrected, Peter says here, we are witnesses of that. He appeared to us that God had chosen. But he also emphasizes something for them to understand, that this is not a fiction. This is not a figmentation of his imagination. He says, we ate with him and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Meaning that he's alive, because people at the time held to a belief that a ghost will not eat solid food. And that's why you would see that after Jesus rose from the dead, it is mentioned again and again that he had a meal, he joined them, he roasted some fish and ate it with them, and he broke bread and ate, and their eyes opened, and they realized that, oh, this is Jesus. So, Peter says here, this man rose from the dead, and we know, we are witnesses, and we ate with him thereafter, and we also drank with him after he rose from the dead. You would also see that, we'll come back to, let's go to Paul's preaching. In Acts chapter 17, verse 8, when Paul was preaching at the Areopagus in Athens, at the Mars Hill, in verse 30 he says, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance by raising him from the dead. And Paul mentions it again here, that God calls people to repentance Because he has fixed a day when he's going to judge the world through a man that he has appointed. And then he says, God has confirmed these two things by raising him from the dead. So we will come back to this scripture again. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter says, blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I want you to notice what Peter says there. He says that God has caused us to be born again to a living hope. And how did God cause us to be born again to a living hope? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that gives us hope as Christians. Nothing that gives us hope as Christians than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I was just building up a case there to show you that resurrection is a very important aspect of the life, of the life of Jesus. But it should also be important to us as the preachers of the gospel. It must be important to us as children of God. We must always never forget when we preach that we mention that Jesus died. He was born and he lived a sinless life and he died and he was buried, but he rose from the dead and he ascended to be on the right hand of the throne of God. He resurrected. Friends, we are not preaching a kind of Jesus who's still hanging on the cross. We're not preaching the kind of Jesus who's still in his grave. The Jesus that we are preaching, friends, he's not dead. He is alive. He rose from the dead. He defeated death. He defeated the grave. And he is alive. And he lives forevermore. And that should be a source of hope and joy for us, that our Jesus is alive and he lives. Let us look at the significance of this resurrection. I want to just to give you four things. Four. Number one, the death of Jesus proves that Jesus is true. It proves Jesus to be true. The death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus proves that he is true. He is not fake. In John chapter 11, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live. He said in John 10 verse 18, I have power to lay my life down and I have power to take it up. In Mark chapter 9, he said, as he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 15, in verse 1, can we just read that? From verse 3. So I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Do you see what is happening here, friends? Jesus said he will die and he said he will rise on the third day. For him to be true, for him to be believed, for him to be Lord, for him to be the King of Kings, for him to be the Savior of the world, he had to rise as he said he will. And here the resurrection is significant in our Christian faith because it proved that Jesus is really who he said he is. He is who he said he was because he said he will rise on the third day and he rose on the third day. The disciples would have given up hope. They would have went back to their trades. Friends, it was this resurrection that gave the disciples the encouragement, the courage and the hope to go out throughout the world and tell the world that Jesus died and he rose and he is the Lord of lords and he calls of men to salvation because he rose from the dead. If he had died and never rose from the dead, they would have no message to preach and Jesus himself would have proven to be a liar. He would have proven to be like many others who came before him. But this time he said he will rise from the dead and he rose from the dead. And we know therefore that he is true. He is who he said he is. He is the way, the truth and the life, friends. We know therefore that he has got the keys to life and even to the grave. We know that Jesus is Lord because his resurrection confirmed every word that he said about himself, that not only would he die, but he would also rise from the dead. And he rose, friends. So for me, that's something that's big, friends. It's huge. It's something that we've got to hold on to. Here's a man. I mean, friends, almost all miracles can happen. But the miracle of somebody being brought back to life, a man dying and saying, I'll come back to life, and he comes back to life, you've got to believe him. And I think that's why one of these fake people who claims to be a prophet faked a miracle some few months ago. They faked the resurrection of somebody because the guy actually believed that if he rose somebody from the dead, and everybody would believe that this man is a real deal. Unfortunately, the acting went seriously wrong. So the resurrection of Jesus proves that he is true. He is who he said he is. I want you to be very clear on that. The second thing that I want to show you is that the resurrection of Jesus proved that he is not fraud. Not only is who he said he is, but he's not fraud. This actually said Jesus makes him to be distinct. It makes him to be different to all other founders of religions. Look in Acts chapter 5 verse 34. You know what happened in chapter 3, that the disciples were going into a temple and they saw a lame man. And it was Peter, John and James. And they say to this man, silver and gold we have not, what we have, we give it to you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the Bible says the man stood up and stood up and started praising God. And that miracle shook the Jewish community. And they wanted to know, how did this thing happen? And so in Acts chapter 4, they arrested them and beat them up and then released them. And they questioned them, how did this thing happen in chapter 4? And in verse 12, that's where, in fact, in verse 11 where of chapter 4, where Peter says to them, we want you to know that these things happened in the name of Jesus. And in verse 12, because then in verse 12 he says, for there is no other name that is given for men to, for salvation. And the story goes on. Then we get to chapter 5, where they are now before the council and they are told that they should not preach about this name of Jesus anymore. Then comes, after all the proceedings, comes a man by the name of Gamaliel. And I want you to hear his advice to the other members of the council. Let's go read Acts 5 verse 34. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. So these men that were put out for a little while with the disciples, they were questioned about what happened. And he said to them, he's speaking to the council members, he says to them, men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. So, according to Gamaliel here, it had happened in recent times that there was a man by the name of Theudas who came, and he came to be somebody. He claimed to be a Messiah of some sort. And then he gathered, followers, 400 of them. They joined him. But then Gamaliel says the same man died. He was killed. And then what happened? His followers were dispersed and came to nothing. Friends, I'm telling you now, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, the same thing could have happened to his disciples. What was it that they were going to tell people? That we believe somebody who claimed to be the Messiah, who claimed to be the Lord. Somebody who died because he said he was the Son of God. Somebody who died and there was an inscription. His charge sheet said, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then he died and nothing happened. That was the end. That was going to be the end. But no, Jesus rose from the dead. And his disciples had a message that they can tell the world. In verse 37, after him Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So, here's another case here. A man by the name of Judas the Galilean, who came around the time, and he also drew people with himself. But then he died, and all that followed him, they scattered. These two men were frauds. These two men, they were not who they claimed to be. They were not what they claimed to be. But then, listen to what Gamaliel says. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this undertaking is of men, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. And so they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They then left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Jesus is Christ. Do you get the contrast there, friends? All the other two men died, and their disciples scattered and dispersed, and that was the end of their religions. Their followers had nothing to say after that. But here we have an account of Jesus' apostles being beaten and charged. And after that, they leave the council excited that they have been counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. And then from there, the Bible says, every day Friends, every day in the temple, from house to house, wherever they went, they did not cease teaching and preaching that this Jesus is Christ. This Jesus is the Messiah promised by the, prophesied by the prophets in the Old Testament. And they said, we are witnesses. We have seen him. He died and he rose from the dead. Friends, if Jesus did not resurrect, if he did not resurrect from the dead, we would not have any message different from any other religion. Friends, let me tell you, Muhammad died and we know where his grave is, and people still go there to bow before that grave. Let me tell you, friends, that Buddha died and we know where his grave is. King Shaka died, we know where his grave is. Muzilikazi died and we know where his grave is. Mushweshwe died and we know where his grave is. But friends, when you go to the grave of Jesus Christ, he is not there. He is risen. He lives forevermore. And he is our Lord and Savior, mighty Redeemer. He rose from the dead. On that day, when he rose from the dead, it became clear to everyone that this man was not fraud. And to his disciples, it was even clearer. He is alive. And therefore, friends, that's why Jesus is the mediator between us and God. He's not dead. Some people would want to draw similarities and say, you know what, Jesus is not for us Gentiles, it's not for us Africans, it's for the Jews. They go to God through Jesus, but you know that Jews even deny that Jesus is the Messiah. Some of them are still waiting, even today, waiting for another Messiah to come. And then they would say, we as Africans, we cannot go to God, we go to God through the ancestors, and these ancestors serve as a mediator between us and God. Let me tell you, friends, Jesus is the only mediator between us and God. That's why the Bible says it is a true saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ died to save sinners. And Paul would like to say to Timothy, for there's only one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ the man. Jesus Christ. Him and him alone. There are not many mediators. There's only one way to God. It is through Jesus Christ. All the other ways may attempt to get to God, but they will not get to him. We can only have a relationship with God if we come to him through his son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead. So, we got to see this, that resurrection is a very significant part of our Christian life. There's a message in the message of the resurrection. Friends, we must not forget this thing. We must not. And number three, the resurrection of Jesus Christ validates our faith, and it also validates the gospel, and it gives us hope for our own resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, Paul writes and he says, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Did you hear that, friends? That if Christ has not been raised, then Paul says to the church in Corinth, then the preaching is in vain. Our preaching is in vain. Even faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he rose. He raised Christ whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Friends, it is a tragedy. You know, when I read what Paul is saying here, he actually is saying that one cannot be a Christian without believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, there would be no Christianity if the resurrection did not happen. Our faith in God, our faith in Christ would be futile. It would be zero. It would be nothing if Jesus did not rise, if he did not rose from the dead. So, the resurrection of Jesus Christ meant that we now have the message that we can preach. It also meant that we have faith. We have a reason to have faith in this Jesus. And then that's the gospel message. That's the full gospel message. And then the other thing here is that we even have that hope, friends, that even if we die in Christ, if we die and we are in Christ, we will also be, we will also live in him. Remember what Jesus said? He said, those that believe in him, even if they are dead, they shall not die. Even if they die, they would live. The resurrection of Christ means that we can have hope for our own resurrection. And Paul, in verse 19, he says that if in Christ we hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If the faith we have in Christ only applies to this life, then we are the most miserable of all people. That's what Paul says. You subtract resurrection from Christianity, it means that we are miserable. We are actually playing with our own lives, living the life of holiness. Then we could eat and drink and die because we know that when we die, it shall be the end of everything. But no, friends, we know that there's eternity. We know that there is life, beyond the grave. We know that there is a life that we are going to live with Jesus. And that's why the Bible says in the whole in chapter 15, Paul talks about that resurrection, and he says, in a twinkling of an eye, the trumpet shall sound, and then those that are dead in Christ, they will rise, friends. So this is the hope that we have, that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our message is true. The preaching of the gospel is true. What Paul preached is true. What Peter preached is true. And that's the same thing that we preach, it is true. But we also have hope, friends, for eternal life. We have hope for our own resurrection. So many times, Paul in his writings, he talks about this life after death. Take, for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 1. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be fed at cloth, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So this is the hope that we have, friends. And Paul talks about it in the book of Philippians, and he says that I want to experience the power of his resurrection. Christians should be looking forward to the day when this mortal body. This mortal body we will exchange and wear the immortal one. A body that is free of sickness. A body that is free of disease. A body that is free of asthma, free of cancer, free of diabetes, free of sin, and free of every sickness that we can ever think about. That should encourage us Christians. When we go through difficult times in this world, we must be looking forward to know that this is not the end. Heaven is our destination. We must be thinking about it. That's why then, friends, if we can understand this one, when somebody dies and he dies in the Lord, we will cry, but we'll also rejoice in knowing that this person is going to be with Christ in eternity. And then that on the day when the dead will rise, they will also rise. In fact, that's what Paul says to the church in Thessalonica. If you would go with me in chapter 13, chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. You see that word again, hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Paul says we must find encouragement and motivation from the fact that Jesus died and he rose from the dead. This is the hope we have. The hope for our own resurrection. The message that we preach, it's true, and the faith that we have is firm. Lastly, Paul in Acts chapter 17 verse 30, he's preaching at the Mars Hill, and the Bible says as Paul was walking around the city of Athens, yes, he realized that these people were superstitious. They believed in all sorts of things. They had so many gods. They even put in their temple an inscription that said to an unknown god. And so Paul, he starts his sermon. He introduces this unknown god to him, to them. He introduces this god that they had labeled as an unknown god. So these people worshipped so many gods that they were even afraid that there might be a god somewhere that they are not aware of, and therefore they did not want to offend that god. So they had to put an inscription that said to an unknown god. So Paul introduces God first as God who created the world, God who made the world and everything in it, and he's the Lord of heaven and earth, and he does not live in the temples made by men. So what he wanted them to know here, that God that they think there's a God somewhere, he is God, the creator of the universe, and he does not live in the temple made by men. He was dispelling their own belief where they build the temples and put their gods in those temples. And he's not served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all to mankind. Gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. So he says this God is the source of life. Verse 26, and he made from one man every nation. He continues them and I want us to go to verse 30, where then he says, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by men whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ affirms the judgment of God to an unbelieving world. It affirms it. You see, excuse me, this is what Paul is saying. He's saying that, you know what? You worship what you don't know. But here is this God who created the universe. Here is this God. He is calling all men to repentance. He says God has now overlooked the times of ignorance when people did not know him, when people, only Israel, knew of God and his work, and the rest of the world was cut outside. But now he says, now God calls all the people of all nations, everywhere they are, God calls them to repentance. He calls them to turn away from evil, from wickedness, from sin. He calls them to turn to him. He calls them. And why does he call them to repent and turn to him? Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And how is he going to judge the world in righteousness? He will judge the world in righteousness by a man that he has appointed. And God has confirmed the appointment of this man and the judgment that was going to come by raising that man from the dead. And that man is Jesus Christ. Friends, we have got no excuse whatsoever. When we will stand before God, we would not have any excuse. Because all that we can know of God, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1 verse 18, we know it. All that could be revealed of God, we know it. Paul says even if they knew that he was God, they did not worship him. Instead, they made images. They made, they worshipped creation instead of worshipping their creator. And therefore, we are without an excuse. And so, here, the judgment of God is affirmed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact that God calls all people to repentance because he has appointed a day. Friends, let me tell you, in this world, you can be guilty. You can kill somebody and go to court, and the court can discharge you and say you are not guilty because of insufficient evidence. In this world, you can do something and hide it from people. You can escape the law enforcement agencies of this world. You can escape justice in this world. And many have escaped, and they think that they can also do the same with God. Let me tell you, God has appointed a day. That day will come, believe it or not, like it or not, whether we preach it or not, because today the church of God, we are afraid of preaching judgment. Even when God judges the nation, when God judges our societies, we cannot say that because we don't want to talk about God who will judge. We want to talk about God who loves, God who heals, God who does all sorts of things, but we don't want to talk about God, the righteous judge, who will judge the world through Jesus Christ. And he has affirmed that by raising Jesus from the dead. That's why Paul in Romans chapter 2 in verse 16, he says that on the day God will judge the unknowns of men through Christ Jesus. All the unknowns, all the secret things that men have hidden from us. Friends, one day they would come and God will judge them. They'll come out and God will judge us. And so That's why when Paul was writing to Timothy, and as he charges him to preach the gospel, to preach the word, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. So, it is important then, friends, that we talk about this resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a significant event in the life of the church. And so, we said that it is significant because it proves Jesus to be true. It proves that Jesus was not fraud, and it validates the gospel, and it validates our faith, and it also gives us hope for our own resurrection. But it also affirms the judgment of God, the righteous judgment of God on the world. And so I want to say then, if you are listening to me this morning and you are a child of God, be encouraged by this thing, that if God raised Jesus from the dead, it is the same power that is at work in us, friends. It is the same power that God would use to keep us in Him. It is the same power that God would use to help us to persevere. So be encouraged. Don't give up. There is nothing that God cannot do. Nothing is impossible with God. If He could raise Jesus from the dead, then that must say to us, there is nothing that God cannot do. We must never lose hope as Christians. Our hope should always be firm. Like in that song that says, in Christ the solid rock I stand, and all the other ground is sinking sand. We must hold on to Him, our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you listen to me this morning and you have not given your life to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is talking to you, the Holy Spirit is convicting you that this Jesus is Lord, I just want to read for you in Romans chapter 10 and we conclude. I want to say that, friends, as children of God, we should be encouraged. And we must never make the mistake of subtracting resurrection from our preaching. Romans chapter 10, I read from verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between a Jew and a Greek, for the same Lord is the Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so the Bible says here, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For you believe with your heart and you are justified, and you confess with your mouth and you are saved. And the Bible says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. May God bring you to salvation by believing in his Son, Jesus Christ, who lived, who was born, and who lived, and who died, and who rose from the dead, and who ascended to heaven. May God bless you, and let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for reminding us of the significance of resurrection. There's so many things that we are aware of about the life of Jesus, but this one of resurrection, we tend to ignore it. Lord, we thank you that your word is very clear, that it was important. It was part of your plan that Jesus will resurrect from the dead. And You rose him through your spirit. You raised him through the power that you have as Almighty God. And today, as we submit and surrender our lives to him, may we be encouraged, Lord, by his resurrection, knowing that that same power is at work in us. May we be encouraged and strengthened that we'll hold on to him as Savior, resurrected Savior. And I pray that for whoever who had the word this morning and who your spirit has ministered to and would want to give your life to him, Lord, even as they bow now on their knees, even as they open up their mouths, as they believe in their hearts that Jesus is Lord and that you raised him from the dead, may they receive your salvation in the same way as we did. Lord, we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.